What we've inherited, in a way, after regaining independence, as a young generation who were not fully informed about religion, who practiced religion, so to speak, underground, and many people even were not baptized, in that sense. So he already said that his main object of this visit would be to put the importance of baptism and the religion, organized religion as such, the importance in society, especially Lithuania. We cannot really say that the religion is practiced only by the old generation. The young generation is very keen and very, very appreciative of the fact. But they need time to find out more about religion. And I think Pope John Paul will precisely do that, because he has very deep feeling towards Lithuania. He said himself that some of his forefathers came from it, and also he even said that he wouldn't mind even covering on foot the whole of Lithuania, and which was rather nice thing to say. And obviously, coming from a neighboring nation who in the past had sort of common kingdom, there was a common kingdom between Lithuanians and Poles, mm-hmm. and so we go way back into history. And there's always that particular feeling that he tends to remember.
It's interesting that he'll be greeted by an ex-communist as opposed to Langburgers.
Yes, it is ironic in a sense, but also one must remember that the Communist Party of Lithuania was not really a real communist party such as there was in the Soviet Union itself or somewhere else. Lithuanians look at the Communist Party as a tool which they adopted in order to rule themselves if they could. It would be much better to have a Lithuanian communist running the state of affairs, but not the Russian one. That was the principal thing. And when we look at the present president, Brazauskas, he is a practicing religious man in many ways. Of course, during the Soviet occupation, he did not want to advertise that particular side of his life. But he comes from a strong Catholic family. And I'm sure that he will show great respect towards the Pope.
Now, he's also going to visit Estonia and Latvia.
Yes.
There is a larger Russian population, isn't there?
Oh, yes, of course. Latvia and Estonia are worse off in that sense, because, for example, in Estonia there is almost 40% Russian population. Latvia, similarly, slightly less.
How is he going to cope there, you think?
I'm sure he will, although Estonia, for example, has got very small percentage of Catholics there. It's more Protestant type of religion practiced there. Also, of course, the Russians most probably have no religion at all in that sense. But his aim was to visit the three Baltic states, of course, predominantly Lithuania, but also there are Catholics in Latvia. They have their own, even their own cardinal, and therefore, of course, he felt that he should visit, and that is accepted. He's going to stay in Lithuania, I believe, until Wednesday, when he travels over the border. And the one other special place that he will visit while in Lithuania is the Hill of Crosses,
yes,
which is famous for its unique survival, if you like, during the occupation. There are thousands and thousands of crosses, and during the occupation they used to destroy the whole lot of crosses And next morning you'd find they came back.
Yaros Alkis, talking there about the Pope's visit to Lithuania.
Budgie the helicopter, they're doing it in animated form, cartoon form.
Oh.
And I'm just doing a few of the voices for it. Yeah.
You have fun with that, do you?
Oh, it's lovely, yes. We do that once a fortnight. And
Because one of the great words in the acting, great phrases in the acting language is voiceover. It's a very popular phrase because it leads to lots of important things.
Yeah. Yes.
And you do your share, don't you?
I've done some for LBC, yeah. which is nice. It's a very nice little thing to come along and do. Because in these depleted days of work, it's nice to... A lot of actors are exploring other avenues, and this is one that's left open to them.
Mm.
Television, is there anything at the moment that you'd like to do at all, Ray, that you see around?
I'd love to do a series like Rockford Files or something like that.
Yes.
Or Shoestring that Trevor Eve did, something like that. With
a
lot of drama.
I was in an episode of that.
Were you?
Were you?
Oh, can I have your autograph?
Yes, I'll give it to you afterwards, Ray.
And, of course, look at the success of, as you say, of television detectives, Inspector Morse and so on. They just go on and on and on. I mean, people really do like that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I did a series called about the Secret Service, the Sandbaggers, about 300 years ago. And it seems we're talking about a revival of that, but there doesn't seem to be any interest in that so-called genre, you know, because the police seem to be riding high now, don't they? Since the fall of communism, it seems to be rather passé, all this Secret Service stuff, which is a shame, because I think it's a very nice... opening for it on Channel 4, if anyone's listening.
There we are, he's available.
He's available.
At the moment, you're both at the Thorndike Theatre in Leatherhead.
Yes.
Misery.
Yes.
And having great fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, I mean, it's what did you think of the French and Saunders send-up?
I didn't see that, actually. It has been mentioned to us quite a lot.
I saw it, yes. It was brilliant, as they always are. But I hope it won't detract anyone from coming along to see the real thing.
You're there until...
the 18th of September. And in all seriousness, it's a terribly exciting show. There's lots and lots of special effects. There's stunts in it.
Very good incidental music, too.
Yes, some wonderful music. And actually, the staff at the Thorndike Theatre said technically it's the most difficult show they've ever had to do because the timings have to be absolutely spot on. And if you want to know why, then you must come to Leatherhead and see for yourself.
Thank you both. For me, Derek Hobson, that's it. I've enjoyed the weekend breakfast with you. Stay tuned here on LBC.
Now you can buy Disney's Oscar-winning classic Beauty and the Beast from Ritz and save up to £5 on videos. We've reduced Beauty and the Beast to just £12.99. That's £2 off the recommended retail price. And we'll give you a £3 gift voucher to spend at any Ritz store. Disney's classic Beauty and the Beast for just £12.99, plus a £3 gift voucher. It's a beast of an offer. Go on, take a piece of Hollywood home. We've got all the hits at Ritz.
Join Michael Van Straten for this week's Sunday Supplement. Comedian and photographer Graham Stark is in for lunch, while food comes straight from the Dorchester Grill. There's photography at 2, where help and advice will be at hand. We'll be talking gadgets at 3, and in Body Talk, we'll be looking at traveller's health and getting a facelift. There's our regular reviews of film and theatre, and we'll be taking a sneak preview of Maxwell the Musical. All that and more with Michael Van Straten from 1 on LBC News Talk 97.3.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
It's 10 o'clock. I'm Roger Walker. Consumer groups say they're deeply concerned by news that 6-year-old beef has gone on sale. Most of the deep frozen meat has been released from an EC food mountain, and some of it is older than regulations designed to stamp out mad cow disease. Dr. Tim Lang from the organisation Parents for Safe Food says stockpiling huge quantities of food is senseless.
What we've got in the world at the moment is a completely stark-raving bonkers system of food production, and many people, myself being one, are deeply worried about the future direction of agriculture, which is why stories like this are so important.
At least 7 Nigerian soldiers serving with the United Nations forces in Somalia are reported to have been shot dead. Residents say the troops died in an ambush in the capital Mogadishu. Israel and the PLO could be ready to sign a peace agreement in just over a week. The PLO chairman Yasser Arafat has won support for his plans from the organisation's largest faction, Fatah, and the 13th of September is now being suggested as a date for a signing ceremony in Washington. Vital lifelines into Sarajevo are being blocked by an outbreak of fighting between Croat and Bosnian government forces. 7,000 Muslim refugees are pouring out of Croat-controlled areas in western Bosnia, many showing signs of torture. A UNHCR spokesman, Ray Wilkinson, says their plight is heartrending.
They are very emaciated, don't have any possessions at all, and some of them are in even worse condition than the people last year who British television filmed. They're in even worse condition than those detainees.
An investigation is underway after a father and son were killed in an explosion at a house in Peterborough. It happened while a party was being held, and seven other people, all women, were injured. Alison Perry reports.
The blast blew out the back of the house, killing Abdulaziz and his 24-year-old son, Tariq. At first, gas was thought to be the cause, but British Gas spokeswoman Martine Thorne says they found no trace of a leak.
Our investigations so far have not revealed any evidence to suggest that gas was involved. The gas supply in that particular location has been checked and is safe.
The cause is being listed as unknown, but police say it's not being treated as suspicious. Five of the injured had to be taken into hospital, but all were released after treatment for minor injuries.
Organisers of Michael Jackson's Heal the World charity say today's big fundraising event in Yorkshire will take place. It's going ahead despite child abuse allegations against the star. Anthony Baxter reports.
Heal the World was created by Michael Jackson and aims to raise cash for children in desperate need across the globe. Today the charity is staging its first ever major fundraising event at Lightwater Valley near Ripon. Among those lined up to appear are Worlds Apart and Sybil. But Jackie Derbyshire from Heal the World denies the recent scandal to hit Jackson has put a damper on the event.
People are very, very positive. We haven't had any sort of negative response for Heal the World whatsoever. We are business as usual.
Meanwhile, it's business as usual for Michael Jackson as he continues with his already disrupted, dangerous tour.
LBC Sport, the NatWest Trophy, will spend the next year in the display cabinet at Edgbaston after Warwickshire's amazing victory over Sussex. The South Coast County made a record 321 for six, including a brilliant 124 by David Smith. But Warwickshire then produced a scintillating batting display of their own to win by 5 wickets on the very last ball. Asif Din was named man of the match for his 104, skipper Dermot Reeve was 81 not out, and Paul Smith hit 60. The weather, dry and bright again today, some sunshine, hardly any breeze, and there'll be quite a lot of cloud about. Cool again, the high just 16 degrees Celsius. Currently in West London, it's 12 degrees Celsius. Fine but cold tonight, and the overnight temperature low, 8 degrees Celsius. Now, Adrian Smith is at the LBC Traffic Centre.
Traffic around London still fairly light so far this morning, but you can expect some problems in Beckenham. On Stone Park Avenue at the junction with Wickham Road, the road has partially collapsed at the junction. Emergency roadworks are in place and congestion is very likely. In Haringey on Westbury Avenue at the junction with Froome Road, water repairs going on there. Single alternate line traffic controlled by stop go boards. Already some delays there. And in Camberwell on Denmark Hill and Camberwell Church Street at the junction with Camberwell Green, you've got various roadworks at the junction. That is very slow. Also on Camberwell Road at the junction with Wyndham Road northbound, there's one lane removed. And Herne Hill resurfacing at the junction with Denmark Hill. So the whole area very congested. In the Earl's Court area, North End Road is closed between Lily Road and Dawes Road for road repairs. Local diversions are in place. And in the centre of town, Euston Underpass is closed, so you can expect delays on Marylebone Road and Euston Road. On the Underground, the Metropolitan Line has buses replacing trains between Harrow on the Hill and Rickmansworth. And on the trains, services that normally run into Charing Cross are diverted to Cannon Street because of signalling work. The line between Charlton and Blackheath is closed, so passengers travelling between those two should go via London Bridge. And on the Great Northern Line, southbound services into King's Cross are not able to stop at either Haringey or Hornsey stations until after 3:30 this afternoon.
For same-day delivery, call Securic or Pony Express on 071 987 3333. That's 071 987 3333.
I'm Adrian Smith at the LBC Traffic Centre.
Good morning. It's just gone 6 minutes past 10 o'clock this Sunday morning, September the 5th. Welcome to Andrew Neil on Sunday, the programme that picks up where the papers leave off and makes headlines all of its very own. Between now and noon, we ask whether there really will be peace in the Middle East next week, a historic step indeed if it happens. And history of another sort will be made in London this week when Nigel Short takes on Garry Kasparov in the World Chess Championship. We look at the psychological and physical powers needed to be a modern chess champion. Well, the TUC is gathering in Brighton for its annual conference. It will have a new leader by the end of the week, and the big union leaders are warning John Smith to call off his reforms of one member, one vote. What's going to happen? We'll find out, because I'll be talking to the TUC's president, Alan Tuffin, after 11 o'clock this morning. And, of course, we also want to hear from you. Book now to get your space or have your say on 071 973 9733 or 071 603 1152. These numbers again, 071 973 9733 and 071 603 1152. Get calling now if you've got something you want to get off your chest this morning about the Middle East peace deal, domestic politics, John Major's position, which is a story which is always with us, or anything else that's caught your eyes in the papers this morning or has been an issue over the weekend. Get dialing now. In a moment, we'll be going live to Israel to get the latest on the Middle East peace deal.
Really?
Which shows you that you've got to teach it in a manner in which the children understand and not garble.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes, I do. I am a firm believer that there should be religious education for all children. And then, having had that foundation, they can certainly decide whether they want to continue. But I think they should have it compulsorily taught until, say, what, 11, 12, would you think?
Well, actually, it's supposed to be compulsorily taught. You know, there are only two subjects which have to be taught in secondary schools. One is PE and the other is religious instruction. You don't have to teach English.
No.
By law, but the secondary schools get out of it by having what they call a mixed or civics or some other name.
It certainly seems that, despite what you say, religious education is not taught in many schools, or certainly there's just an apology for it. Sydney, thank you so much for your call. I want to move on to a couple more calls, and then I want to tell you about the Save LBC campaign, which seems to be growing by the minute in stature. Garnet from Chingford. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Now, what would you like to talk about?
Now, about God.
Yes.
There's a vast difference between God and religion.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
God is a force of spirit, which is inborn in every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know fully well, if you're walking down the street, and you see your fellow man, or the race, okay, man or woman, or...
Yes.
Even a dog or cat, and you can help.
Yes.
You know fully well you help that person or whatever, and when you look in their eyes, and that person says, thank you.
Yeah.
That is God working in you.
And how would you define religion then?
Religion is just an occupation, just like you're a broadcaster journalist. There's a printer, there's a doctor, there's a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's only a profession, but that profession... uses the handicapped, the illiterate, and the gullible.
Okay, Garnet, the line isn't of our normal high standard to you. I'm sorry about that, but you have certainly got your point across, and thank you for it. Alf Finchley, good morning, Alf.
Oh, good morning, Doug. Oh, I certainly believe religion should be taught in schools, but religion has a great deal to answer for.
Mm-hmm.
We look at India with the Sikhs and the Hindus.
Yes.
We look at the extreme religious people in Israel, and on the other side, the Khomeini, who want to issue a death verdict on some of the people. And when you think of the Spanish Inquisition,
yes,
and the way they, in this country, we murdered or burnt people at the stake,
mm-hmm.
and the segregation in Northern Ireland between Catholics and Protestants in schools,
yes.
And I think we've got to be far more tolerant. We've got to be taught tolerance and to respect other people's religions.
Do you think that tolerance should be taught as part of religious instruction, Alf?
Well, I do indeed. I think the more the people with very, very deep religion or beliefs seem to me to be more intolerant than other people.
Yeah. Alf, thank you. It's a very cogent point that you make there. And a lot of people who do say that we should have religious training are just a little bit bigoted, aren't they? A little bit intolerant, as Alf says, of other people's religions. And surely that defeats the whole idea. I'd like to hear your calls, not only on religion, but also on the six-year-old beef. That's something that we'll be discussing after the 8 o'clock news. But now, I just want to say that the Save LBC campaign is progressing apace. We've had a wonderful response. If you've been listening over the weekend, you'll have heard that everybody is rallying to our cause, it seems. And it only goes to show that you feel that LBC has, in the 20 years that we've been on air, done the job we set out to do, not only providing you with news and information, but also entertaining you and keeping you company. Now, let's look on the bright side of things. Certainly, we have 13 months to go, because whatever happens, our franchise does not run out until October of next year. So, we've got 13 months to go. Now, how you can help? There are petition forms in our reception area, which you can sign. Just put your name, address, and signature on the petition forms. And we are to be found at 72 Hammersmith Road, London W14. If you're going out of London, it's on the right-hand side just after you pass Olympia, before you get to Hammersmith Broadway, 72 Hammersmith Road. Or you can write a letter of support for LBC, just to put it in your own words, how much you'll miss us, to our chairman, who is a very well-known name, unforgettable name, Dame Shirley Porter, and she is to be found at P.O. Box 973, London W14, 8FE. Dame Shirley Porter, for your letter of support, P.O. Box 973, London W14, 8FE. And there's also a phone vote. 51,000 people have already taken part in the phone vote, and we currently have the following proposition running. LBC should be saved. Right, you can call that number and say yes or no. We'll let you hear what you will get if you call that number. The number is 071-333-0010. And if you are going to join the 51,000 who have already called, this is what you'll hear.
This is LBC phone vote. If you agree with the proposition, say yes when I say agree. If you disagree with it, keep silent until I say disagree, and then say yes. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Thank you for calling LBC phone vote.
So let me make that absolutely clear. LBC should be saved. That is the proposition. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Okay, vote now. 3 minutes to eight.
On weekdays, the Times will carry something you'll find in no other quality newspaper. Chess for Beginners. A six-part guide packed full of tips for learning and improving your game. And don't forget, the price of the Times is down from 45 to 30p. A move you'll find in no other quality newspaper. The Times. At just 30p, it's a small price to pay for a great newspaper.
Drat! I've just dropped this state-of-the-art digital phone on the floor.
Oh, dear.
And it's completely unscathed.
Marvellous. If you've a technical bent...
Steady on, Brown.
You'll be fascinated that the rugged specimen in question is the new Motorola 3200.
So don't hang about. Dial 100 and...
Beep, 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 beep.
I rather like the sound of this digital business. Will it do your fish fingers, Brad?
I don't have fish fingers.
2 minutes to eight. Winko in the DHL London Lookout.
We've got one or two nasties still. This Brentfield Road situation really is very, very, very slow indeed. It's going to take some time to sort out. Brentfield Road's absolutely solid right round to the Red Cross shopping centre. If you're coming round the other way, because of the road closures from the Harrow Road intersection right back to the gyrator, that is absolutely chock-block as well. The M25 junction 16 back to sort of Maple Cross area. In fact, the whole of the M25 now is getting really quite busy in both directions. So certainly around the Heathrow section. Junction 28 anti-clockwise, we've got a 3-mile queue there. Dartford Bridge, we've got reports of a 1.5-mile queue. There's one lane closed. That seems to be what's holding things up there. And the A40 out at Long Lane, that's still very busy indeed. That's tailing right back under Swankley's Corner. This is Brian Wolf, your London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express. And John has the rest for you.
Yes, just to tell you, because of that freight train crash, Maidstone East Station is closed.
Drive down to Sainsbury's and fly off to somewhere else in the world. Save up to 40% off British Airways flights abroad when you collect your Sainsbury's receipts. See in store for details.
I'm John Kay at the LBC Traffic Centre.
Now, one of the stories, thank you, John, that has been exciting you this morning is this beef story, and no wonder, because news is coming in that beef up to 6 years old is not only being sold to British shoppers, but it's causing a great deal of panic among a lot of people. Now, we're going to try and get the facts and figures behind the whole thing by talking to the Assistant Director of the Consumers Association, Derek Prentice. So, Derek will be my guest after the 8 o'clock news, and that bulletin I shall now bring you on this radio station, the Voice of London. Here comes the 8 o'clock news now.
This is London Talkback Radio, 1152 kilohertz, 261 meters medium wave.
Slightly higher temperatures. Tomorrow morning should also be dry with a few bright spells and still that easterly breeze. During the afternoon, thicker cloud will bring some outbreaks of rain later on. Difficult to time the arrival of the rain in London tomorrow afternoon. I suspect it'll be late afternoon or early evening before it reaches most of London. Tomorrow's high around 19, possibly 20 degrees. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
This is Brian Wolf, your DHL London Lookout. The M1 now very, very busy. That's tailing back to Junction 6A if you're going out of London northbound. Generally speaking, the motorway seems to be moving reasonably well. 17 and 18 are quite heavy, and that, of course, up in the Chorley Wood area. We'd expect that at this time of night. It's usually the hills that make the difference there. And the Rotherhithe Tunnel, that's been a bit iffy in the last half an hour or so. Jamaica Road, that's getting quite slow going into the Rotherhithe Tunnel itself. And Roehampton Lane, the A3, that's way back past the hospital now. The A4 from the Hogarth roundabout, right over the Hammersmith flyover. Brian Wolf, your London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
Drive down to Sainsbury's and fly off to somewhere else in the world. Save up to 40% off British Airways flights abroad when you collect your Sainsbury's receipts. See in store for details.
Good evening to you. At 8 minutes past six, you're listening to Angela Rippon's Drive Time here on LBC News Talk, the Voice of London, coming to you on 97.3 FM. And coming up in this, the final hour of the programme, death crash in Yorkshire. Six die as a lorry and van plough into a shop. We get the latest and we talk to a senior fire brigade official at the scene. The row over the prison riot. Government policies are blamed for an orgy of destruction at a Lancashire jail. Prison officers claim it was run down to compete with the private sector. We have a report on today's developments, and we hear from the Shadow Prisons Minister, Joan Ruddock. Plus, Middlesex fights back. We hear from one of its most famous residents, who says reports of its death are greatly exaggerated.
People feel very strongly that their Middlesex has been a part of their lives for 1,300 years, and its identity, it's where a person belongs.
And we'll hear more from stargazer Russell Grant here on Drive Time on LBC News Talk. Still, the Voice of London.
From the company who brought you a new Mercedes-Benz for only £259 per month, J.R. Tagger will now assist you with the purchase of your L-registered Mercedes-Benz. A professionally equipped operation, specializing in locating the vehicle of your choice. If it's available, J.R. Tagger will find it. And, of course, offer a demonstration at a time and a place to suit you. J.R. Tagger. The complete passenger car dealership for your L-registered Mercedes-Benz. Watford, 242-243.
LBC News Talk, 97.3.
And we're just a few seconds short of 6:10. You're listening to Angela Rippon's Drive Time. Well, a West Yorkshire village is in shock this evening following an accident in which a lorry ploughed into a shop, killing 6 people, including a mother and her young daughter. Eyewitnesses say the lorry smashed into a stationary van, propelling
over 1,000 PCs and add-ons, including Compaq's range, and somebody to talk to.
Without after-sales, is it such a goodbye?
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Tempo at Chingford, Croydon, Stevenage, Thurrock Lakeside, and now Staples Corner, with interest-free credit subject to status. Call 081 974 8606 for written quotations. Tempo. High technology brought down to earth.
To arrange a test drive of a new or used Mercedes, call Bradshaw Webb on 071 352 7392. Better still, visit our showroom opposite Albert Bridge on the embankment. Lorraine Chase did, didn't you, Lorraine?
That's right. A few weeks back, yeah.
And you bought a new Mercedes, didn't you?
That's right. A brand spanking new one, yeah.
And you bought one because you were impressed with the choice of cars on offer, the friendliness of the staff, and the overall standard of service. Is that right?
No. Because it was blue.
Our DHL London lookout is Brian Wolfe. Let's hear what he's got to say for the last time this evening.
Not too bad, generally, Angela. Euston Road, though, still tailing back under the underpass if you're going westbound out of London. The Blackwall Tunnel southbound, still about 3/4 of the way to the Bow Flyover. The Rotherhithe Tunnels all seems to be clear of moving okay, but Jamaica Road still very, very busy going into the tunnel. Chelsea and Putney are the bridges to watch out for, both going out of London, of course, and Putney Hills still a little busy, although it is clearing as the evening goes on. The highway, that's still fairly slow, but there are some nice gaps in it. And the A13 from the Blackwall approach, about 3/4 of the way over the Canningtown flyover, that's townbound. And finally, the A406, the Harrow Road intersection, that really is getting a bit busy, almost back to the gyratory. That's it from me. Have a very good evening. John has the rest for you.
On the A4 westbound, it's slow between the Hammersmith flyover and the Hogarth roundabout, and in Fulham, North End Road is closed between Lily Road and Dawes Road because of roadworks. One train cancellation for you, it's the 7:46 Borough Green to Victoria. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Thanks very much indeed. John Kay there, who's been sitting in this afternoon for Fred Housgoe, who I gather will be joining us again tomorrow here on Drive Time. It's 10 minutes to 7.
What price quality? A lot less than you'd think when you buy an award-winning 486 PC from Ambra. Call now on the new Ambra free phone number 0800 486 486.
Just come back from holidaying in South America. Fascinating place. Happens to be one of the emerging markets I'm investing in, all thanks to the Mercury Emerging Markets Fund. Just being there, I got a real sense of the growth and opportunity this fund has to offer. Of course, the fund doesn't just invest in South America. It invests in the developing economies of the Far East, Asia, Eastern Europe. In fact, pretty much all over the world.
For an information pack on the Mercury Emerging Markets Fund, call 0800 445 522 or speak to your financial advisor.
A note for the worldly wise investor. Invest £1,000 or more in the fund before September 17th and receive a discount of 2%.
Mercury Fund Managers, a member of IMRO and LOUTRO. The value of your investments may fluctuate. Call 0800 445522.
It's 9 minutes to 7. You're tuned to Angela Rippon's Drive Time. And 2 firemen have died in a blaze at a poultry factory in Hereford. 2 other people were taken to hospital, one of them suffering from burns, the other from heat exhaustion and breathing difficulties. The fire, which has been blazing for 6 hours, broke out at the Sun Valley Works shortly before 12 o'clock. Around 100 people have been evacuated from their homes and other premises in the area around the burning factory. Well, joining me on the line now is Chief Inspector Robert Bray of the West Mercia Police. A very good evening to you.
Good evening.
Can you just tell us what the latest situation is there?
Well, the latest position is that the fire is now becoming under control, and in a very few minutes hopefully we'll make a decision whether or not it would be safe to allow people back into their homes.
Why did you have to evacuate people? Were you worried about the fumes, or was it the possibility of the fire spreading?
It was mainly to do with the fumes and acrid smoke. The fire occurred in the roof space in one of the buildings, and with a prevailing wind it was blowing across some of the houses nearby. We were a little concerned early on because it was principally polystyrene, and we took the move to evacuate people to be on the safe side, but since that time the fire has calmed down a little and we feel a little more confident to advise them to go back home.
Have you got any idea at all as to how the fire started?
No, unfortunately, at the moment we've no idea, but there'll be some extensive inquiries in the morning to try and establish that, both from ourselves, the fire brigade, and possibly the factory's inspectorate.
Mm. I gather that it was blazing, as we said there, for the best part of 6 hours. Was it a particularly difficult fire for your men to deal with then?
I think one of the principal problems was that there was gas canisters inside which were exploding quite regularly, and there was the danger of oxygen and nitrogen tanks nearby of exploding as well. So, yes, it was a particularly difficult one for the fire brigade.
How was it that the two firemen, lost their lives?
Well, at this stage, it's very early on into the inquiry. We haven't really got too many details. We know that two people lost their lives, two firemen, and obviously tomorrow we'll perhaps show a bit more light on exactly what happened, but at the present time, we really not too many ideas.
Is there any indication as to whether they were overcome by the fumes or were they actually lost within the building?
Again, we haven't got specifics on that. PMs are arranged for the morning, and perhaps on the light of what's found there, we can perhaps be a bit more positive as to the circumstances there.
Mm, but it must have given you all a tremendous shock, because something like this is not an occasion where you would expect to lose two men, is it?
No, it's quite true. It's very sad, and I think it affects everybody at the scene, but it certainly brings home to people who are actually dealing with these sort of things the dangers they work in, not to be too complacent.
Absolutely. So where do we stand with it now? You're dampening down the fire. Do you think you'll be able to leave the scene fairly soon?
Well, I think there'll be a presence from the fire brigade all night, just to ensure that there's no further breakout. But we're having a meeting at 7 o'clock with the fire brigade to discuss all the possibilities, but at the present time we're pretty optimistic that we can get the people back in their homes for certainly bedtime, if not before.
Chief Inspector, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Robert Bray there, Chief Inspector of the West Mercia Police, with us on Drive Time at 7:05.
LBC News Talk 97.3 FM. You will have heard by now of the decision by the radio authority to axe this station from the airwaves. A decision taken by this clutch of establishment poodles and made at the stroke of a pen. A decision considered in secret and handed down to you without any public inquiry, any reference to what you, the listener, might think. Did anyone ask you whether you were happy with what we are doing, whether you wanted us to stay or go? The answer is no, they did not.
The award-winning Mike Carlton Morning Report on LBC News Talk 97.3 FM. The breakfast show everyone's waking up to.
And the chairman of LBC, Dame Shirley Porter, is actually going to be the guest on Nightline this evening with Chris Mann from 10 o'clock tonight. So if you want to talk to her about the future of LBC and indeed the decision by the Radio Authority, then you can do just that by picking up the telephone and talking to Lady Porter live here on LBC News Talk this evening after 10 o'clock. Well, meantime, I have been talking to the astrologer, Mr. Russell Grant, who, among other things, is the president of the County of Middlesex Trust. Now, Russell takes his position very seriously indeed, especially considering that there are many people who seem to feel that Middlesex, which was the county of the Middle Saxons and which won this year's cricket championship, was abolished in 1965 and therefore is no more. I have to tell you, this is not true. Middlesex is alive and well, and there has been some confusion about its state, which is why Russell wrote to Downing Street to tell Mrs. Thatcher and the government that they'd abolished his home. Well, earlier in the programme, I asked Russell if he'd received a reply.
Oh, yes, I got a wonderful reply. I wrote to them, I was born in Hillingdon, raised in Harefield, and now live in Eastcote. And my family come from Potter's Bar, which is in Middlesex. Now, what happened was, I wrote to Mrs. Thatcher because I got so fed up with people saying to me, well, of course, Middlesex doesn't exist anymore, that I wrote to her and I said, I don't belong anywhere. Where's my home gone? And I got a reply back through her people and through the Department of the Environment, which was a bit sort of, what can I say, pompous, but nonetheless it spelt it out very clearly. And it said, Dear Mr. Grant, just because we abolished a county council that was a mere 76 years old, what on earth makes you think we've abolished a county which is 1,300 years old? And then they went on to explain the difference, that Middlesex County Council was never all of proper Middlesex, and it was only formed in 1889 for local government. But the county of Middlesex was an entirely different thing, and in fact had been existent for 1,300 years, and they did not have the power to abolish it.
So Middlesex does still exist?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's been three early day motions by various MPs, the MP for Uxbridge, Michael Shersby, and Jeremy Hanley, who is MP for part of Twickenham, Toby Jessel, and so on. So we actually have it now officially from the government that the Middlesex County Council was abolished for local government, but the county of Middlesex, two entirely different things, was never touched, and indeed they did not have the power to abolish something that had existed for 1,300 years.
So people living there can still write their address as Mr. and Mrs. Bloggs, Acacia Avenue, Middlesex.
That's right, and in fact, in Potter's Bar, the County of Middlesex Trust held a poll there earlier. In fact, in league with the BBC, we did a programme out from Manchester, and the majority of people in Potter's Bar and South Mimms still want their Middlesex Association. And down in Spelthorne, which was ungraciously put under Surrey County Council in 1965, Spelthorne Borough held a Moray poll under the light of this new local government review, and a vast majority came out saying they wanted no Surrey connection, only the Middlesex one.
Why do you think it is, then, that word has got around, as it were, that Middlesex no longer exists?
I think, really, it's a total misconception. It's just not understanding what happened in 1965. They say ignorance is bliss. But to a lot of people, of course, they just completely wiped my home and many other millions of people's homes off the map.
And that was Russell Grant, the astrologer, who is in the County of Middlesex, probably better known as the president of the County of Middlesex Trust, standing up there to be counted for Middlesex, him and several thousand others too, I should think. Well, that's it from Drive Time for today. I'm Angela Rippon. I shall return, of course, tomorrow between 4 and 7 when we'll take another look at the day's news, not just here in the southeast, but throughout the world as well. Do stay tuned, because Richard Dallin will be here just after 7 with First Edition. And do remember that later this evening here on LBC News Talk, at 10 o'clock, in fact, on Nightline with Chris Mann, you'll be able to talk live to the chairman of LBC, Dame Shirley Porter. So if you have any questions at all regarding the decision of the Radio Authority to remove LBC's licence to broadcast, and indeed if you would like to know, as would many of us here in the building, what is going to be the future of LBC, do ring in and listen. I shall be back tomorrow. See you then. Good night.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
It's 7 o'clock. I'm David Addis. Two farmmen have died fighting a blaze at a poultry factory in Hereford. It's thought they became trapped in the Sun Valley plant when the fire started in a roof shortly before midday. Hundreds of people have been evacuated. Chief Inspector Robert Bray of West Mercia Police has told LBC the men's death was a great shock and there will be a full investigation.
It's very early on into the inquiry. We haven't really got too many